If you love America, you're a mom. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good afternoon. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama said Sunday that the U.S. will partner with African nations to expand access to electricity through a project called Power Africa. To get things going, the administration is launching an initial $7 billion effort to work with six countries, Ethiopia, Ghana, Kenya, Liberia, Nigeria, and Tanzania, over the next 5 years. The Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction has released a report showing that the Defense Department spent $772 million to purchase aircrafts that the Afghan military cannot operate or maintain. As part of that purchase, DOD spent $554 million to buy 30 helicopters from an exporter based in Russia. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture is allowing a horse slaughtering plant in New Mexico to resume operating. The Humane Society quickly denounced the decision, noting that Congress has passed appropriations bills that deny federal funding for such activities. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill. If we'd known 10 years ago today would be 10 years from now, would we spend tomorrow's yesterday and make it last somehow? Would be the tears in someone else's game and never learn to play.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at www.tn4theactioncom. tn4theactioncom. Well, we have a good show lined up for you tonight. We have several guests. Johnny McDaniels, who's a board member of our group, should join us here in just a few minutes. He does our Facebook page and does an excellent job. We've really gotten the word out pretty good through Facebook. Want to talk tonight a little bit about one of our senators. We could probably spend a whole 2 hours or more talking about both of our senators. But we'll talk a little bit about Lamar Alexander. This latest vote of his, essentially, he essentially voted to give away our country. That's essentially what Lamar Alexander did. And I don't know what the problem is in Tennessee. We have such a great state with so many great patriots, and yet we have Lamar Alexander, Bob Corker, and Governor Haslam at the state level. And I don't understand, the system is apparently not working. We're always told you have to have money, you have to have name recognition, and you have to have a record. Well, all of those guys have that. Corker was a successful businessman, established a name for himself, and, what has he done for us? Alexander was a governor. I didn't live here at the time, but by all accounts, a good governor. And, he's been a senator for a while, and it just hasn't panned out. All these things that they have told us are needed are just not panning out. We have our first guest on the line now, so I'm going to go to him. This is Johnny McDaniels. Once again, he does the Facebook page for our site, and he is the owner of Tennessee Thermal in Nashville. He's been in business about 18 years. And we're going to talk about this a little bit tonight. You with us, Johnny?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you coming on the show. And I started off here talking a little bit about Lamar. And since he's up for election in 14, I'm going to kind of get your input on this. What are your thoughts about Lamar?
Well, you know, charitably speaking, by all accounts, he's a nice man. He's sincere in what he does, and he's got a lot of friends he's made through the years. But his approach and his views and his direction on the issues, I feel, are lacking in ways that not only handicap conservative efforts, not just in the state of Tennessee, but nationally and in the Senate and the world as well, but even aid the socialistic elements that exist in taking our country down the path that many of us that share conservative values and value a constitutional republic would regret.
And all that was before the amnesty vote.
Yeah, right. Now, what you've got there is that brings up a whole new set of circumstances. Our country is at a crossroads. And Lamar Alexander has long held a philosophy that in order to win back the Senate and to get along and make progress, we have to be able to work in a bipartisan manner and compromise where necessary. Now, that doesn't come as a surprise to me because most of the people in the Senate, in the Congress as a whole, are lawyers. Now, I don't have anything against lawyers. They're certainly needed and justifiable aids to many of us in many circumstances in this society. But lawyers are trained to compromise. That's the way that they work through issues. They're trained in compromise, and that's generally their route of first default. And we've got a problem with this. The people on the other side of these issues, these important issues, such as the amnesty and many others, such as the socialized medicine and others I'm sure that come to your mind, we've got people that they have their narrow agendas. It may be abortion. It may be something else. Some of them are focused on one thing, and they'll put up with anything else to further their own pet cause. Now, we're playing a game of tug-of-war. This is about as simply as I can put this. There's an abyss in front of us. We've got the liberal media, politicians, New World Order proponents pulling on one side. The Constitutional Republic advocates, the people that value our nation as it's long held, according to our Constitution and the values that the Founding Fathers originated into the country and into all the documents and laws, all of us are on the other. We're playing a game of tug-of-war. We're pulling. We're trying to keep what we've got and pull a lot of the slippage back in the other direction, socialized medicine, abortion laws, et cetera. They're pulling the other direction. Now, every time we compromise on these issues, we're taking a step towards that abyss. They're not compromising. They're voting in block, in mass. It's always all the Democrats voting in lockstep. Very seldom is that any different. But the Republicans, they're trying to find a way to compromise. They're voting with them when they can see a reason to do it. They're going along to get along.
Yeah. Let me interject something there just a bit. Let me say something on it. You know, and that's the thing we hear all the time, that we're always told we have to compromise. We have to reach across the aisle. Matter of fact, people like Alexander and others, a lot of them pride themselves on their ability to work with the other side. Well, the other side is the enemy. I mean, ideologically, they are the enemy. And there's no way that Lamar and these other guys can't see that. I can't believe that they are that blind. Yet, when they campaign, they try to paint themselves as conservatives. And, you know, they run right, govern left, and then, of course, you have the establishment telling us, hey, well, you know, it's better than a Democrat. Well, off the cliff is still off the cliff.
Exactly. And that's unfortunately what this current situation and mindset is doing to us. Now, here we are. How many times have you heard people say, how many times have you thought yourself, why don't they do something? Why do they go along with these ideas? Why don't they fight those people in Congress and put it to the people and come away with a victory? Well, they compromise. It's just, you know, it is more or less like pleading guilty to something on a plea bargain, even though you're not guilty, so he won't try you on two or three more things. Well, I guess there's a reason in court to compromise if you can believe the lawyers in certain circumstances, and I guess we all can. But not in government, not when it's running you off the cliff, and not when you're headed for a different form of government and a different way of life. We can see it all around us now, and none of us want to go down that road. And yet, we're just on the train, we're watching the landscape, and we're headed for the destination because our leaders won't put the brakes on and fight hard against the direction that we've been in. Now, you know, when you've got people whose primary goal is not to offend their friends and to be career politicians and to find a way to coexist and to even sell their constituents down the road on important matters for some sort of favor in some legislation or some personal agenda that may not even relate to the central issue, you've got problems. You've got to have people in government now, especially high levels of government, that are principled, that stand on those principles, that will fight for them. And you've got to have people that not only are able to lead, but people that will do so, and the people that will do so despite what the opposition or the news media thinks.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a shortage. There's definitely a shortage of those type of people. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. The guest call-in number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. I'm your host, Dave Vance. We're on the phone with Johnny McDaniel. We've got to do a quick live read here. Don't let the big liberal media fool you or anyone else. There's no war on women in the conservative movement, and we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing comes to you at 9 p.m. Eastern and 8 Central here on conservativenationradio.org. Listen up, then call in and be heard by real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B too. Women Patriots and Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Johnny, I got a question for you. You know, a lot of people say that, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. Lamar's got too much money. Of course, we heard the same thing in 2012. Corker has too much money, too much name recognition. And there's no way that anybody without name recognition or money, you know, millions and millions of dollars could possibly take Lamar out. What do you think about that?
Well, obviously, I think that in today's society, some money is necessary to accomplish anything. But in Tennessee, we live in one of the most conservative states in the union. And there are plenty of voters in Tennessee that are unhappy with a senior congressman who throughout his career has basically sided with the liberals and the Democrats. Now, what you've got here is a senator that has more power than all but a few in the Senate. And 62% of the time, his record shows he has voted with Obama during Obama's tenure. Now, that should
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That is just disgraceful. 62% of the time in one of the most conservative states in the country. You know, this formula is not working. This big money, you know, well-known establishment. It's not working. It's not working for the unknowns anyway, that's for sure. We're going to have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hopefully have some callers ready. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we've got a few more questions for you, Johnny.
Okay.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm Dave Bantz, your host. We've had Johnny McDaniels on the line. We're talking about Lamar Alexander. And we have another caller on the line here. We're going to take a couple questions. Caller, who do I have here?
You got Bill.
Bill? Bill Hemmer?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Bill?
Well, you were talking about could anybody beat Lamar Alexander, and I think that's a very good possibility this time around, especially because I don't believe that he can get a ground game going. He may have his contingencies out there, but there's so many people that are disenchanted with him at this point in time that if you get a good candidate, he doesn't have to match him dollar for dollar, but I think that there's a very good chance for a known person to take that seat back if he's conservative in any manner.
Known or unknown?
As opposed to what we see. It would be best if he were known, of course, but if he's not, he's going to have to be, definitely show some conservative backgrounds for the things that he's done in his life. How he's voted, things of that nature. But if he is known and if he's been in politics before, that can be a pro or it could be a con because he would have a voting record and you'd have something to follow, but in this situation, I think Lamar is vulnerable to the Tennesseans that really want him gone. I am one of them. So if a viable candidate comes down the road, rest assured that my finances and my time will be devoted towards removing the man from office. What Johnny is talking about, the compromising, has been nothing but detrimental to us as citizens of this country. I can't understand where the logic is, because it doesn't seem like there is any logic when the majority of the people sit back here and wonder, why did he do that? Why is their vote? I mean, why are we advocating amnesty? Why are we advocating abortions. Why are we advocating, you know, the high taxes? And we
Bill, I'm going to have to jump in here. We're going to have another caller on the line. But I want to go back to your point here in just a second, though, about money. Let's go to the next caller here.
All right.
Who do we have on the line here?
Hey, this is Danny.
Hey, Danny. Danny Owens?
Hey, David. Yeah, that's me.
Hey, how are you? What are your thoughts?
I had a question. I'm from down here, Lincoln County. I had a question for David Fowler. Is he still on?
I don't know who's calling.
No, David Fowler's not on yet. We have Johnny McDaniel on with us. David Fowler will be on at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, I must be listening to the wrong one. I'll try to reach you in. Thank you.
Okay. Bill, you mentioned a minute ago Bill mentioned a minute ago money. Johnny, how much money do you think it would take for somebody without name recognition to launch a viable campaign against Lamar Alexander? You have any idea?
Well, somewhat. I think that if you could get a ground game going, support with like-minded individuals, and raise, say, $100,000, that may be a good start for one reason. If you could raise $100,000, then there is something that Jim DeMint has his name attached to that would provide, as I understand it, a good amount, larger sums of federal money to augment that. Then, with a little bit of momentum and the news that someone is actually running against Alexander and has some support, you'd get much financial support nationally, possibly even from Democrats. But a lot, because a lot of people want him gone. He's got influence, he's powerful, and even though he's voting rather liberally, Democrats may assume that they could elect another Democrat if he were out of the picture. They're wrong. But all the same, money would come from everywhere at some critical point of mass there.
I think they would be hard-pressed to elect a better Democrat than Lamar Alexander, but, you know, I could be wrong. All right, so, and you're right, Senate Conservatives Fund that Jim DeMint has, and if you remember back in 2010, Scott Brown of Massachusetts, money came from all over the country, and I think Lamar, you know, Lamar's got that kind of name recognition, too. Yeah, he's got name recognition, which makes him hard to challenge, but he also has name recognition where any and every conservative that follows anything that's going on in our country knows his name, and it's not for good reasons. So I think the money would flow in, and no, it does not have to be a dollar-for-dollar match. So how would somebody kick off a campaign like this? What do you think? Obviously, they would have to say, hey, I'm in. What would be their next step?
Well, the next step is to get local support. Get the word out on what you stand for. There are plenty of people that want God back in our nation. There are people that want conservative values from the standpoint of a constitutional republic to be cemented in a way that they can't be thrown out or overrun. You've got people in Tennessee, plenty of people, who are not just dissatisfied but disgusted with the current state of affairs and the way that our senators are voting. If you can show them a way, if you can show them a leader that will take the opposite approach and beat back these invaders and take back our state and our nation, well, this is what happens. This is why Ted Cruz is popular. A few people like that now, a few more in this next election in the Senate, and you can start a movement that can change this whole country.
Yeah. You mentioned
and,
Ted Cruz.
Start the leadership.
Yeah. You mentioned Ted Cruz. I mean, that guy so far, and you know, I'm leery. We've been burned enough with different people who pop up and seem to believe what they say, and they act like that for a little while after the campaign, but then they kind of – so far, you know, Ted Cruz has not just talked it, he's walked it. And we need more people that will talk and walk it. Look, there's a lot of good talkers out there. But walkers, that's a whole different deal. We've got another caller on the line here. Let's get a little more insight. I think we got Kurt on the line. How you doing tonight, Kurt?
It's Kurt. But you came looking for insight. I'm running on empty tonight. I was working outside, and the time slipped up on me there. I don't even know what you got going on the show tonight, brother. You're going to have to clue me in.
Well, right now we're talking about Lamar Alexander and somebody possibly without name recognition challenging Lamar Alexander. Any thoughts on that?
What had happened?
Say that again?
I said, let it happen.
Let it happen?
Yeah.
So that's a campaign you – I mean, all right, what do you think it would take to win?
Dave, I don't know. You caught me flat-footed on that. You know, I mean, it'll take a name, I think, that the people recognize. A lot of people need to recognize the name, or the name needs to be made easily recognizable, someone that the people can connect with in some way when they hear the name. They might not know this person or not, but there's something about that person that they say, oh yeah, well, okay, you know, now I know who you're talking about. And if that person's got a good scenario out there, a good information on them, you know, okay, I don't know where you are with this one guy that you and I have talked about some, you know, so I'm not going to call a name unless you want. but something
no, we'll
like
hold
that.
Off. We'll hold
you know,
off on that for right now. Let's hold off on that. Yeah, hey, I will say one thing, though. Remember about name recognition. As soon as Lamar Alexander has a certified challenger, the person's going to get some name recognition, okay?
I will agree with that. That's instantaneous. I will agree wholeheartedly with that, yes.
Yeah. All right, we've got just a few minutes left of this segment. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm Dave Vance, your host. Johnny, what about let's just go at it here. Do you know anybody who's possibly considering a run?
Well, it's funny you ask. You know, we'd talked about this in brief a while back, and it's becoming more of a reality. I'm considering taking on this challenge, and for several reasons. Number one, I'm committed to this. I think that there's a way to beat Lamar Alexander, and the way is to show the people the leadership to take them where they want to go, not just in the state, but in the nation, too. And don't waver from that, and don't compromise, and don't beat around the bush. Lead and make sense and convince people that you're going to work tirelessly for that, and then do it. Now, if people believe that you'll do that, that's all people have been waiting for and wanting in a representative. Now, there's another thing, too. A lot of people say experience. Well, you run for local office, you get your name out, you lose a few, maybe you win a small one. Then years later, maybe you run for a larger one. Maybe in 15 years, you'll be ready for the national stage. Let me tell you something. We've got a problem. The ox is in the ditch. We don't have time for that. We've got to have good men step forward. We've got to have people that aren't afraid of this establishment, or afraid to go against it. We've got to have people with the conviction to let the chips fall and do what they know is right. Do the right thing. That's what we need in this nation, in our government. And that's what I would intend to accomplish. Now, go ahead.
No disagreement there. I was just curious, when do you think you might make you said you're considering, when do you think you will make a final decision?
Well, we have to gauge support. We have to see what the people actually do want in terms of different people's estimations that are ready to spearhead this matter. And then, of course, I have to pray about it. I have to talk to my family a little bit further and see just what everybody's up for. The first thing I'm committed to as a Christian is my family and my God, not in that order, my God first and, of course, then my family. But the next thing would be our country, and we have to mesh all this, and I think it could be done. But I'm here if I'm called. Now, when I say that, I know that people can decide to do something, but yeah. in the final analysis, people can accomplish only a certain amount, very little in the scheme
right.
of things.
We're up against a hard break, Johnny.
God can accomplish it all, and if He's with you, no one can stand against you, and that's what I'm here for. His agenda and our government.
Yeah. Well, you definitely have your priorities right. I'll say that for sure, and I look forward to hearing what your final decision is. And I appreciate you coming on the show. And hey, you know, everybody, this may be where it all starts. You know, I know we have some listeners out there. We're going to have to take a quick break, and then when we come back, hopefully we'll have David Fowler on the line with us here in a couple. I hope you'll all stick around, all the callers and all the listeners. Let's assume that you're listening to conservativenationradio.org. You're conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot that gets everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. This will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And we'll be back in just a second.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm Dave Vance, your host. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. This show is brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. We just heard from Johnny McDaniel. I believe he's still with us. And we have Kurt on the line. We're waiting for David Fowler to call in. And Johnny just informed us that he is considering possibly challenging Lamar Alexander for his Senate seat. And, you know, obviously he's going to do the right thing. He's going to think about it, pray about it. He does sound like he has his priorities in order. And, Johnny, are you familiar? There's an organization out there called BeatLamar.com. Have you looked at that site?
You know, I've not looked at that site. I have heard something about it, though. That's the kind of thing we need is grassroots support. And then the support is there. The organization needs to be built. The people will fall in line. Nobody likes his voting record or his positions in this state. It happens to be a conservative Republican, and that's mostly what we've got.
Well, Kurt, out your way, I'm sure you know a few people that love to get on the Beat Lamar bandwagon. What do you think?
Yeah, plain and simple. I know a lot of people that fall into that category. I may jeopardize my newly acquired position as chairman of the Henry County Republican Party here by saying what I'm saying, but if that's the case, so be it. Because I think pretty much everybody understands how I feel about Lamar's voting record already. And as a matter of fact, I think Lamar knows a little bit about how I feel about his voting record, as does Bob Corker, for that matter. So it's not going to come as any surprise to anybody in the Republican Party if I don't walk the line on this stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of people out here who are unhappy with Lamar Alexander's voting record, and frankly, that's putting it mildly.
That's the cleaned up version.
I've been struggling in the last few days, especially in light of this immigration bill stuff that's been going on. I'm almost reluctant to say how strongly I feel about that and what the ramifications.
Hey, Kurt, I'm going to have to put you on hold there for just a second. We now have our second guest. Recent DOMA decision. Dave, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you joining
Kurt. It sounds like you have a lot of wishy-washy moderates on the calling in the station.
I know, and that's not a good start for an allegedly conservative show. And, you know, I'm going to admit I made a mistake. I really, if you're going to talk about beating Lamar, you've got to dedicate a minimum of an hour. But, you know, that's a minimum, and that's being nice. So lesson learned.
That's okay. Well, anyway, it was great to get to listen on hold here to Kurt, and happy to join you again this week and talk about the sad stuff that took place last week in our Supreme Court.
Yeah.
What you want to talk about.
Now, the Supreme Court decision, I've read a little bit of it, and, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I don't have the background that you do, but it's a terrible decision, no doubt. But what did they actually have to say on the issue of gay marriage in the decision?
Well, they stopped short of holding that traditional marriage laws were unconstitutional. They stopped short of saying that gay marriage was somehow a constitutional right. They said in the majority opinion in the Defense of Marriage Act case, and there were two cases. One was about the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, for the listeners that may not be real clear on what was there. And that was an act passed by Congress years ago, signed by President Clinton. And then there was the Proposition 8 case, which was the ballot measure in California that essentially reversed their state Supreme Court's decision out in California, and the people reinstituted marriages between a man and a woman. So anyway, in the Defense of Marriage Act case, the court said that it was unconstitutional for the federal government to restrict marriage to a man and a woman for purposes of federal law, things like income tax deductions, estate tax, marital deductions, and other sorts of federal benefits. And they essentially, Justice Kennedy, in writing his opinion, said about everything bad and mean you could say about people like you and me without ruling that gay marriage was a constitutional right. So for the listeners that are in Tennessee, what the Supreme Court said did not change our definition of marriage in Tennessee. It's still what 81% of our voters approved between a man and a woman. But so the holding was really very narrow, but there was plenty of language in the opinion to certainly cheer some of the folks in the homosexual community that it's just a matter of time.
So it didn't really, you know, it didn't say that, you know, gay marriage is now legal, and it didn't say that, you know, states have to implement it. But the tone was, you know where they stand. We know what they want.
Yeah.
We know where the road they want to go down. And, of course, the activists on that side, they're going to treat this like a bigger victory probably than what it was.
Oh,
don't you
yeah,
think?
Absolutely they will. And, you know, I fully expect that if not by the end of the summer, then by the end of the year, the ACLU will be bringing some kind of lawsuit in federal court here in Tennessee, asking the federal court to declare Tennessee's constitutional amendment contrary to the U.S. Constitution. So I think we should expect to see that, and I think we'll see that in several other states. You know, one thing I will say about the homosexual activists is oftentimes they are far more disciplined and willing to discipline members of their community than sometimes we conservatives are, in that they choose their battles carefully. You know, in other words, they didn't really go down and try to push marriage, gay marriage, in Mississippi. They went up to northeastern United States, and that's where they fought their battle. They keep picking off one after another, and even though just a limited number of states have held gay marriage, they've painted it as if, you know, it's this tidal wave coming down. So it may be that they'll choose to follow suits in, you know, places like Ohio and maybe Michigan and a few other places where maybe they'd get a little better shake or feel like they would than in Tennessee. But, you know, really for your listeners, that's a sad statement, isn't it? That somehow the Constitution, you get a better shake in some states than in other states. You would think the words of the Constitution mean what they mean, and it's just evidence of the fact that our judges make it up as they go along.
Now, let's talk about Tennessee just a second, because in Tennessee, as you said, it's in our Constitution. It was not just a law passed. It's actually in our Constitution. So that means that our liberal Democrat attorney general is not going to have any choice but to actually defend this for once, right?
Well, not necessarily, no. The attorney general could decide that based upon the analysis of the Supreme Court, he could believe that, you know, this is a lawsuit we can't win, and he could defer and not take it up. So, no, we could be in the exact same position as the poor folks in California. And in that case, what people need to understand, in Tennessee, the only other person that can defend us or defend our statute would be if the two speakers, the Speaker of the House and the Speaker of the Representative of the Senate, which is Beth Harwell and Ron Ramsey, they can agree to hire outside counsel and defend the Constitution. So if our Attorney General decides not to, I would imagine that Beth and Ron would hire an attorney. And you know, I hate to almost say this, but because it sounds like I'm impugning the integrity of the Attorney General's office, but you want somebody defending our constitutional provision with all the vim and vigor and wits they can get about themselves. And if the Attorney General is just going to go at it half-hearted because he feels like he ought to, I'd just as soon him decline and let Beth and Ron go out and hire somebody that really wants to get after it. But, you know, that's
and point. They have the authority to do that, correct? They can actually
they do
that?
They do. And great, they have to agree. And actually, our organization had brought a bill to the General Assembly last year to further address this problem, because people who've been involved in politics in Tennessee for years know that if Jimmy Nafee was still the Speaker of the House, he and Ron Ramsey would never agree. You know, Jimmy Nafee would have said, well, the Attorney General said it's unconstitutional, and I'm going to trust his opinion, and our law would have been undefended. So,
hey, Dave, we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, we need to address this, but go ahead, take your break. We'll come back.
We have to take a quick break here. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. When we get back, hopefully we'll take some calls. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we'll be right back. Our friendly local Republican spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, so what do you expect? Get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger-flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever. Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm Dave Vance, your host. This phone number is 718-305-7176. This show is brought to you by Tennessee Action Council. We have David Fowler on the line with us, and we're talking about the recent DOMA decision by the Supreme Court and what impact that will have in Tennessee. So, Dave, just to make sure I'm tracking, even though the decision itself was not as significant as the other side would like to make it sound, they're going to play it for all it's worth, and we could still expect them to just go full bore. Matter of fact, you think that it won't be too long before, you know, the possibility they may challenge our Constitution.
Yeah, I fully expect that they will, our state Constitution. Whether they proceed with some cases in some other states first, I don't know, but I fully expect them to challenge our constitutional amendment here. And, you know, one of the things that really bothered me about the whole decision, if you just lay aside the question of is gay marriage good or bad policy, the Justice Scalia wrote a dissenting opinion that was really brilliant. And the biggest concern that I have as a lawyer, and I think we should have as citizens, is the lawlessness of our court. Of course, we've already seen that with Obama. I mean, he just decides he wants to do something. He just runs right around Congress, like with his war on coal and all of his environmental regulations. But the U.S. Constitution, people need to go read it. It actually says in the judicial clause that there has to be a case or a controversy for the court to hear. In other words, you and I can't run down to the courthouse and file something and say, hey, court, would you give us your opinion about you know, this statute over here, is it constitutional? You can't do that. You have to have a case or controversy. The theory being that if two people are in a controversy together, you're going to get the best arguments from both sides, which means you're more likely to get to the truth. But when you and I go in trumped up, you know, and trump up something, well, you're not going to get the best of both sides of the argument. And the Supreme Court majority acknowledged, and Scalia pointed it out, that never in the history of our country has there actually failed to be a case or controversy pending when the Supreme Court made a decision. And what that meant was the lady who brought the lawsuit, the attorney general had agreed with her and said, you're right, and here's your money back. And so there wasn't any case. It had been settled. It was gone. There was no party really left before the court. And so the majority just said, well, there are prudential reasons for going ahead and issuing an opinion. Well,
you mean activist reasons, essentially?
Yeah. You know, essentially, whatever in the future they think is prudent to render an opinion on, whether there's a case or controversy or not, that's what they're going to do. And the word prudent, you know, it doesn't say a case or controversy or where otherwise prudent. It says there has to be a case or a controversy. And And as we all know, General Holder said, "You're right, lady." President Obama said, "You're right, lady. We're not going to defend the lawsuit anymore." And when that happens, there's not a case or controversy. And yet, in direct contravention of the explicit language of the Constitution, the Supreme Court went ahead and issued a ruling. And so essentially, that's just lawlessness. And that's not good for anybody.
But of course, that's not the first time. I mean, you know, we see that all the time with the court. Unfortunately, this is one, you know, and I think maybe some of the people in Tennessee don't necessarily realize how some of the activists, some of the they play themselves as victims, but they can be pretty vicious.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, having the court on their side.
Yeah. If people don't believe they're vicious, they ought to read some of my emails off every once in a while. It really is very interesting how vicious the other side can be, and folks may not realize this, but not even on the issue of gay marriage, but about 3 years ago, the state legislature addressed the issue of whether or not local governments could put homosexual personnel policy mandates on a private business. And one of the business entities, the Tennessee Chamber of Commerce, supported the bill. For them, it was decreasing regulation. You know, we don't want every city telling us what to do. Oh, well, they went, I mean, literally, the homosexual community started finding every person that was employed by those businesses that were on the Chamber of Commerce, finding who their employees were that had given money to the Proposition 8 case, and essentially trying to go after their jobs and saying, okay, Eastman Chemical, okay, FedEx, you say that you're pro-gay, but do you realize you have these employees who gave money to defend bigoted marriage? Now, that's vicious. That's vicious. So that's what we're up against.
Kurt? You still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I don't know if you caught that last part. Do you have anything you want to comment on?
Boy, there's a subject right there that I might could get us all in hot water when I start commenting. we have a legal mind here already with us, and I'm not a legal mind. By any means, I operate on what I believe is right and what I believe is wrong. But everything within me says that this the Defense of Marriage Act should stand. It should hold. That should be the way it is. Marriage between two people of the same sex is an impossibility. It's a physical impossibility, and it's a sociological impossibility. Marriage has to do with reproduction, with the creating of life through. And the word just flew right out of my mind there. Procreation.
Procreation. Yeah.
Which that'll work. That wasn't the word I was looking for, but it'll work. Two people of the same sex, we all know they cannot procreate. So, therefore, the concept of marriage, and I read some definitions recently, and unfortunately, I didn't copy and paste them, so I don't have them in front of me. If I did. So they're not going to do me any good right now. This is not, when it comes to the idea of procreation, this is not rocket science. You know, we know how it works. And two women cannot create a baby, nor can two men create a baby. So, therefore, the Defense of Marriage Act should stand. And I think I'll stop there before I say something that might get you in trouble for you. I don't want to jeopardize your show, Dave, okay?
Well, I appreciate it, but I don't think you can say anything to do that. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Dave Vance, the phone number is 718-305-7176. We have David Fowler on the line with us. And so, Dave, you know, you have, of course, a great organization, Family Action Council of Tennessee. What are you doing to gear up for what you know is coming? Have you had a chance to do that yet?
Well, I as I said, last year we had a bill to further extend the categories of people that could defend our laws against constitutional challenge, and I've already sent a text message to the majority leader in the Senate, Mark Norris, and a couple of representatives, and told them, you know, while it's good today that our two speakers would probably agree on this issue of marriage, we ought not leave ourselves in the position that California found itself in with nobody to defend them. And so I think that's one of the things that we certainly need to look at. You know, the language of the opinion, and there's been some discussion that perhaps marriage should be defined in a bit of a different way, kind of referencing what Kurt said, that we think of marriage, we've tended to think of it in recent times as two people who love each other getting married, but at the root of marriage is the notion that a man and a woman have the ability to procreate. Inherently, they do. Now, whether you know, they're past the point where they really could or there are difficulties, there is nothing inherently sterile about a male-female relationship, whereas a male-male relationship is inherently sterile, or female-female, and that perhaps we should try to find some way to define marriage in terms of procreational ability, and you know, I think perhaps the best way to do that would be to simply say that we're going to require the parties to present birth certificates to establish that they have that inherent procreative ability, and if they can, then they can be married. Whether that'll fly or not, I don't know. I've run it by some attorneys far smarter than I to look at that type of concept to see if under the language of the court's opinion it could work. But that's something else I think needs to be looked at. And of course,
how do we get the churches?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. How do we get the churches involved on this one?
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but right now, in large part, the matter is in the hands of the courts. And the churches have been silent for so long, they've allowed the issue to be put, in many ways, outside the scope of the legislature. Now, there is a member of Congress, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but Tim Hulskamp, he's a Republican from Kansas, and he has already filed a federal marriage amendment. It says marriage in the United States is a man and a woman. It has 28 co-sponsors, and I don't know yet who those 28 are, but I think we as people of the state of Tennessee, we the people, can certainly encourage our pastors to communicate with our congressmen. We as citizens can communicate with our congressmen and say, hey, I want you signing on to that amendment. Let's begin to build a measure of grassroots swell of support for the federal marriage amendment, and at least make the liberals fight a little bit on our turf. So that's one thing that's out there, and I don't have a bill number, but he has filed a federal marriage amendment, Tim Hulskamp.
Well, definitely worth doing. You know, I think they had that was, what, in 2004? Wasn't that proposed in 2004 during the first Bush administration?
Yeah, it was. It was. And it didn't get anywhere at the time. And there were people, even like Senator Fred Thompson, who said, well, we don't really need a federal marriage amendment. This is all stuff that's just happening by the judges. And, you know, it's not going to really happen, and we don't need to do it. And at the time, I thought he was wrong and told him I thought he was wrong, and a number of people told him we thought he was wrong, and he was wrong. And And it's unfortunate that there were so many who couldn't see where things were going. Or if they could see, wanted to pretend they didn't see because they didn't want to invite the controversy. And I'm not sure which it was, but, you know, the whole thing could have been headed off at the pass had some people at the time taken it seriously, and they didn't. And to be honest, I hold them just as much at fault as the preachers in our pulpits who won't talk about anything and haven't for the last 20 or 30 years.
Well, Dave, we're out of time for the day. I appreciate you coming on, and I hope to have you back. And, you know, once again, thank you for being with us. Right after
Enjoy
the break, I hope you'll stay on, and we'll talk to you again. We'll have you on probably within the next month or so at the latest. Right after the break, we're going to have Dave Nance with us. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the fair tax, and that will be in just a couple minutes. Once again, this is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. We'll be right back. Thanks again, Dave.
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow. That's awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Vance. This show is brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. We just finished up a good conversation with David Fowler, talking about the DOMA situation. Of course, earlier that, before that, we had Johnny McDaniels talking about one of our so-called leaders in Tennessee, Lamar Alexander, and how desperately we need to get rid of him. But the federal government, whatever the federal government does, it all takes money. And, of course, they get that through our taxes. They get that through the IRS and other methods. So there's different proposals out there. And I'll tell you, Sarah, I'm not a tax guy. Our next guest, hopefully will join us here in just a second, will be Dave Nance. He's from Gibson County and very well versed on the fair tax. And so he's going to be basically talking about why he supports the fair tax. Now, there might be some others of you out there who don't like the fair tax, maybe you're flat tax people, or maybe you have other ideas. The number is 718-305-7176. Once again, 718-305-7176. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. And while we're waiting for Dave to get on, we'll go back to Kurt. Kurt, you were at the rally with us Saturday. There was a, an abolished IRS rally Saturday in Jackson. And you could say we didn't have any sheep there. There was no sheep and there was no chaff.
No, no. That's a safe statement to make. There's no need in pretending that I'm not disappointed in the number of people that were there. I am. I know David Nance is. I know you are. I think that every one of us who were there, I was disappointed. Later, well, heck, you were there, Dave. If you want to quote the man that said it, that's fine. I don't know. If, you know, someone at our table at lunch said, most the ones that weren't there Saturday, the rest of them, we won't see them. They won't show up at functions like this until they begin to feel pain, personal pain. And unfortunately, by then, it will probably be too late to effectively legislate and otherwise, what shall I say, peacefully resolve some of these situations. And there is the sad part of there not being more people there than they were. And I'm scratching my head as there's a bunch of other people trying to figure out, what do we do? What can we do next that will literally wake people up to bring them out of their stupor? I'm going to probably be very unpopular with some of my family after this Saturday. We're having our 4th of July get-together down in Tipton County. And an after-dinner speech was hatched in my brain today as I worked outside. And I may not be invited back for next 4th of July's shindig. But, you know, so be it. I have refrained from saying very much to them in the past, but today I realize, hey, this is my family. I need to do everything I can to try to wake them up, to try to cause them to begin to be better prepared. Some of them are. Some of them know what's cooking, but they're still not really engaged. So,
yeah, well, yeah, and we've got to all have people like that in their family that, you know, just don't seem to pay attention to what's going on. They think that, you know, this is just like any other situation where you have certain people in power and, you know, time will pass, we'll get new leaders, it'll be all fine and well. Well, when you consider the amount of debt we have, you know, that's not the case. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. Your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. The topic is taxes, and we're talking about the fair tax. We're going to talk about flat tax possibly. So if you have views on any of those, please call in. We'd love to hear from you. We'll have our guest, Dave Nance, with us here in just a second. And once again, that number is 718-305-7176. Now, Kurt, you know, you've been around for a few years. So
yeah.
Taxes, you know, when you were a young man, you know, percentage of your income, and I know you probably don't have it figured, but they were not near the burden then as they are now. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, very safe to say. I can remember, Dave, when I would reach the maximum on Social Security. They would stop taking Social Security out of my check somewhere, you know, in the fall, around late September, early October. That made the rest of the year, you know, a little bit nicer economically. But then later on, and needless to say, the older I got and the, you know, the pay and pay scales changing the way they did, I made more money per hour or per annum, whatever was going on. And it was several years before I reached retirement age. It reached the point where I never got through paying Social Security. That 52nd week of the year, there was Social Security tax. I guess you'd call it a tax. I don't know what else to call it. There was Social Security being taken out of my check in the 52nd week. as word that had been in the fall, you know, I would stop paying because you reached the maximum. That's one difference. Of course, the income tax rate itself was the other thing that increased substantially. So yeah, it's a lot different now. It's a whole lot different. And I don't know, you know, frankly, David told us some things down there Saturday about this fair tax that I did not even know. Of course, I've never studied this situation the way he has, and I find it very interesting. Here again, makes it that much more sad that no more people were there to hear what I heard Saturday and what you heard as well. So,
well, and you know, we had some really good, you know, Saturday. Okay, we had, you know, Dave, of course, highlighted, you know, our Dave, you know, led the show on it. But we had Richard Archie, excellent speaker. First time I've ever heard him speak on anything besides guns. But you know, besides the Second Amendment, of course, the guy knows the Constitution inside and out, both federal and state. And we had Hal Rounds, constitutional lawyer from Fayetteville, spoke, and he spoke about the fair tax, and he spoke about how, you know, the federal government has just used it for, you know, really as a means of control, and of course, income redistribution. And then of course, the main speaker was Judd Matheny. So there's something wrong with you if you're a conservative in the Jackson area and you've got Richard Archie, Hal Rounds, and Judd Matheny speaking and you don't show up. There's something wrong. But it was, you know, it was an excellent program. You know, like I say, numbers weren't quite what we hoped for, but it was still a good show, still worth doing. You know, and the whole tax thing, you know, that issue's not going to go away. And you know, they are controlling so many things. They're controlling the money. They're controlling behavior with the taxes. You know, they give you a deduction here for something they want you to do more of, or they penalize you for something they want you to do less of. So it's definitely not an issue that we can ignore. 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. This is Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio, brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we will have Dave Nance with us here shortly, hopefully. He may have gotten tied up. I know he's a pretty busy guy like a lot of us. But we do have a liner to read. Join Delaware political veteran Christopher Manti every Friday right here on conservativenationradio.org for the Christopher Manti Show at its new time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia in the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which could readily be called eponymous, Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And we're back. This is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance on Conservative Nation Radio, brought to you by Tennessee Action Council. Kurt, you heard a lot of the same things I heard. What was the thing that you liked the most about the fair tax that they mentioned?
Well, one of the things that stuck in my mind is that the way David explained the I keep forgetting to differentiate between you two guys. As we have here, you know, you're Dave, he's David, okay? David pointed out was that, for instance, he referred to his Ford truck sitting out there. He's a brand new Ford F-150 truck. What do they sell for? What are they now? $35,000? I don't know.
Something like that.
I haven't bought a new truck in a long time. Matter of fact, the one I'm driving, I bought used. But let's just use a round figure for say $30,000. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 22%, if I remember the figures correctly, of the cost of that truck is comprised of income tax. The income tax on all the labor that went into the manufacturing of all the parts and the assembling of those parts, every component in there, when you figure the income tax that was paid into the federal government by the workers building that truck, I believe he said it comes to something like 22%. Well, you take 22% off the cost of a $30,000 truck when you get ready to put it on the market. Okay, and of course people are going to get excited a little bit when they first hear the actual rate of the flat tax when it's applied as a sales tax. And I believe he said that would be 24%. But that's only on new services. If you buy used, then you don't pay any sales tax. But compare the price of that new truck when it's bought at that price and a new truck bought under the fair tax situation and what it does then for the market. Let me know when you get
there. Hey, Kurt, I'm going to have to step in here just a second. We've got to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back. Thanks.
Okay.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American...
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationRadio.org, brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. My name's Dave Vance. I'm your host for tonight. The phone number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And we are waiting for our next guest, Dave Nance, to call in to talk about the fair tax. In the meantime, you're stuck with me and Kurt talking about the fair tax or whatever. So please call in, 718-305-7176. Now, our last guest of the evening will be Pete Whitman, and he's going to talk to us some about Obamacare. He's in the healthcare industry, so he knows quite a bit about it. He's been dealing with it since day one. you know, Kurt, in the last segment there, we had David Fowler talking to us, and of course he was talking about the DOMA. And you know, you remember back about 30 years ago when the AIDS thing first hit, and they figured out pretty quick that it was predominantly homosexuals, IV drug users, and you know, at least in America. Now, in other parts of the world, it was infecting a lot of heterosexuals as well, although there were some, you know, side issues there. But so that's the case, and you know, that I'm aware of, that's still the case. So here you have the federal government pushing this. I mean, well, you have the 5-4 Supreme Court decision that, even though it doesn't go all the way, we know what their goal is. They're pushing this. They know it's unhealthy. I mean, it's, you know, most of us agree that it's immoral. Well, we also know that it's unhealthy, you know, in relation to AIDS and in relation to a lot of other problems. But at the same time they're pushing that, they're pushing Obamacare, which means everybody's going to pick up the tab for all the health problems. And I'll tell you something else, another place this really plays out. The military has, you know, they are, and I'm retired military, and I still, let's just say I still work around it. They have a safety obsession almost. They have, you know, they're always talking about healthy living, healthy lifestyles. Matter of fact, there is now in the military a health command. I think there's another actual name for it, but that's essentially what it is. So I'm like, okay, at the same time they have this health command, they have this health command, yet we now have ended Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They're now, of course, you know, if they actually are able to reverse and make gay marriage the law of the land, then everybody and their brother is going to pick up the tab for what's going on in our military. And it undermines readiness. You know, you're in the military a little while. You know how sometimes they really went overboard if somebody did something that caused problems. Because the bottom line is, if you're not healthy, whether it's mentally, physically, psychologically, whatever, then you can't do your job. Well, your job in the military, it's not just a job, it's a responsibility, it's duty. I mean, somebody else is going to have to pull up your slack, and they are counting on you to live up to what you signed up to do. Yet we're taking in people that are living an inherently unhealthy lifestyle. So it just seems insane to me. We push this while we are, you know, for years and years, they started to fight years ago about the glamorization of alcohol in the military. So they've tried to get that under control. They haven't really succeeded, but it's not pushed institutionally like it was. Smoking. You know, I remember in the days, and I know you remember the days, when anybody and everybody smoked, and you could smoke pretty much everywhere. Now you got to be 50 feet from a building. So on one hand, they say they're concerned about health and safety, and on the other hand, they're promoting a lifestyle that's inherently unhealthy. Is that insanity or what?
Yeah, well, insanity is the ruling factor of the day, Dave. Just insanity, I can't think of another word that really covers it all in one word any better than that. And I think you were the one that spoke about the coming day when the VA hospital will have to have an AIDS wing on it to take care of all the AIDS patients who are veterans, because when we remove this, well, it's already been removed when they took out Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but the barriers are being dropped even further, making it easier. The court rulings are removing any and all barriers, the things that socially would have stood in the way somewhat. They're trying to strip those away. And there's a reason for it, of course. You have to go read those 45 declared goals of the Communist Party that were made a part of the congressional record back in 60 or 60-something, whenever it was. Our military is being weakened on purpose. We have one guy up here, you may have been reading some of his articles today, and he's probably made a lot of enemies among the female readers of the Paris paper here, but he's had a long-running series on preaching against the issue of females, of women in the military. And he delves into areas which the average person doesn't even think about. But the thing of it is, he's right. The lefties are going nuts. They call him every name in the book and some extra ones for it. But he's right. You spoke about the expense a while ago of training a soldier, and then lo and behold, that soldier comes up pregnant. Well, there you go. There's all that money down the drain for however long it takes for that lady to take her maternity leave. And then, of course, the odds are probably pretty good that she's not going to be able to move right back into active service right away, unless she happens to be married to Mr. Mom, who can take care of the kids at home, you know. So, yeah, insanity is the ruling order of the day for these things that are happening to disrupt and weaken our military. The Russians are laughing now.
Oh, they have to be. They have to be.
Yeah, he's laughing up his sleeve. He's remembering that his former mentor, I guess he was a mentor, I don't even know what age range Putin is in, if he was in, and my memory has failed me again, but I can see his face, that fat dude was banging his shoe on the table at the UN.
Khrushchev, Nikita Khrushchev. Sometime in the,
yeah.
I think, late 50s, early 60s, it was definitely before my time, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, well, Khrushchev fought in World War II, you know, I mean, he was one of the, he was brought in to Stalingrad there to help rally the troops, and they say he did a pretty good job of it, too. But then he was a vicious, cruel man, as we all know this now. I mean, there was nothing he wouldn't do to achieve his goal. And I can still see him back. You know, I remember it. I forget a lot of things back in the past, but I can still see that image of Khrushchev banging on the table with his shoe, proclaiming that we will bury you without firing a shot. And you know what? They're a lot closer to achieving that goal now, thanks to our current administration. But let me put an addendum on that real quick here. It's not just the current administration. This pathway has been being created by administrations behind this one. I'll go so far as to say we go all the way back to right after Ronald Reagan. As soon as Ronald Reagan left the White House, things started to go downhill rapidly.
Well, I think they increased. I think I agree they increased after Reagan, okay, but, you know, this is a long-term path. I mean, you know, there was things that went on. I mean, well, really, FDR, Wilson, FDR, you know,
yes,
I mean, sure. You could even argue TR to a little degree, but, yeah, after Reagan, it definitely got worse.
It shifted gears. It went into high gear. And then, of course, when Obama came into the White House, the afterburners kicked in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just full steam ahead. And, of course, you know what's so bad about it is in 2010 when we took the House, you know, they had an opportunity because not only did the Tea Party help them get there, but the issue of Obamacare helped them take the House. Everybody was upset about Obamacare. Well, one of the first votes that they took, or they could have taken, Michelle Bachmann and Stephen King had a bill that would defund Obamacare. And it didn't get any traction. So one of the main issues that they got into office on couldn't get passed in an allegedly conservative House of Representatives. Now, since that time, the House has voted, 37, 40, 50, I don't know how many times, voted to repeal Obamacare. Now, you had the opportunity to fund it, and you wouldn't do it when you had the support of the people. And when you had within just a few months, there was, you know, hey, there's going to be a government shutdown, blah, 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 blah. And you could have made a trade. Hey, look, the people are unanimously against this. You know, Democrats, you're gonna have to compromise. We're not compromising. We're cutting Obamacare, bottom line. But no, that didn't happen. It didn't pass. But the same congressman will brag to us about voting to repeal Obamacare. Then we say, well, why didn't you vote to defund it? Well, that, look, Harry Reid and the president would never defund it. That's not even an option. So, that's just not feasible. We got to get the Senate. We got to get the White House. Well, wait a minute. Do you think they're going to vote? They're going to allow you to repeal it? No. But guess what? The House owns the purse strings. It would have been so easy for this House, when they first took power in 2011, to keep Obamacare the central issue. And to point out all the other wasteful government programs. We haven't cut anything. Absolutely nothing has been cut. And that's just, you know, flat out disgraceful. Hey, Kurt, we're up against a break here.
Okay,
and,
go for it.
As soon as that, we're going to have Pete Whitman with us on the other side. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. May not cover all transactions, and scope may vary. The conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. And we have a quick PSA.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcs4automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Well, welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio, brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. And we have Pete Whitman on the line with us here. Pete is in the healthcare industry and has been for quite a while. Pete, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, I appreciate you calling in. Now, you're with your organization is the Whitman Group, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And you've been doing this, what, 15, 20 years, something like that?
Yeah, I actually started in the healthcare industry selling health insurance back in 1993, and started the Whitman Group in 2006. So I've been doing it for a while.
Okay.
Been doing it for a while. Seen a lot of changes.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what me and Kurt were just talking about a minute ago, Obamacare. What do you see as the impact? The state of Tennessee voted down actually setting up a state-run exchange. But the decision is still out there on whether or not we'll expand Medicaid under Obamacare. If they do expand Medicaid, what's going to be the impact in terms of cost, in terms of quality of care?
Okay, well, Medicaid originally was for the poor and indigent people, and Tennessee already had its run expanding Medicaid back in the 10-care era. And we expanded it so much in the 10-care era that it came to a point where, you may recall several years ago, that we even had corn honking going on at the state Capitol building to stop the state income tax because we could no longer afford to support TennCare because it was eating up the budget. I think at the time it was representing somewhere between 35 and 38% of the state budget, and they had to do some drastic changes to TennCare to make it happen. So we've already experienced an expansion of Medicaid in the past. I can't see that foresee that anything expanded in the future is going to be any different. However, what the Medicaid expansion is from Obamacare's perspective, originally the law was going to require all states to expand the Medicaid portion to 138% of federal poverty level, which is roughly for a family of four, I guess, about between $32,000 and $33,000 a year. I think they've dialed that back to 133% of federally poverty level. Under Obamacare, they initially were going to pay 100% for the first 3 years, and that still is the plan, and then gradually decrease it till 90% in 2020. The problem is that when 2020 comes, the states are going to have to pick up a huge chunk of the change, because as they expand a Medicaid portion and the states start then participating more, because there's so many more people on that plan, targeting the additions would make it very, 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 very expensive for the states. I think in the state of Tennessee, they were probably looking at somewhere around 1.7 million that was going to go on to the Medicaid expansion, and you're paying a large number or a large volume of premium to keep those people on it. I do know back in March, Governor Haslam came out and said they wanted to look for an alternative to the Medicaid expansion that was more in line with, yes, let's get some federal money, but let's figure out another way so that we're not killing the budget on this in this process. So I think that's kind of what they're looking into now is, hey, what's an alternative that we can do that's probably going to be a little more fiscally responsible? There's six other states that are in the same boat as we are.
Only six at this point?
Well, there's six that have decided to explore other alternatives from that standpoint. There are literally other states that have just said there is no possible way that we can possibly afford to actually expand Medicaid in our state.
Yes.
And go ahead.
How do you calculate? Because if I understand it correctly, Secretary Sebelius pretty much has a free reign. So she could go back and change something after the fact, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah, and that's accurate because she's going to decide what's the essential health benefits that have to be included in the Medicaid expansion. Currently, right now, they have the four metallic plans, which are bronze, silver, gold, and platinum, representing a 60% actuarial value, a 70% actuarial value, 80% actuarial, and 90%. And, you know, normally normal brains would actually think, well, okay, well, that's just a coinsurance. You know, I'm going to pay an 80-20 plan plus a deductible. That's not exactly accurate. It's an actuarial calculation. And if you just even take a look at Medicare benefits and how they function with their strange deductibles and how they pay out, there are actuaries that decided upon that. So it's not exactly going to be a simple science to sit there and go, oh, yeah, we're going to be on the hook for this. And the other piece of that is the rising cost of care is going to continue to increase. So as they're doing that, you may only be paying 10%, but 10% of $500 billion is still a large dollar figure.
That's a huge, huge amount of money. And, you know, Tennessee likes to – I've heard a lot of them talk about how financially responsible we are, but the low number I've heard of what we're already relying on the federal government for is 40%. And I talked to others that said it's a lot higher than that. So we're already dependent on them for 40%. You know, this is only going to make it that much worse. So what have you already seen happen under Obamacare, especially as it relates to, say, primary care doctors in Tennessee?
Well, what we're going to see is we've already started to see this, is that there's going to be less and less primary care physicians coming into the fold. We're already starting to see that, partly because the big money is in the specialist arena, and doctors are not going to spend 7 years of their life and $200,000 to $400,000 in student loans to get a job that's going to pay them $75,000 a year. It's just not going to happen. When they socialized medicine in Australia in the early 80s, doctors literally went to $50,000 salary paid by the government. And we'll probably see similar trends go here as well, because we've seen other socialized medicine in other countries do similar things. And what will happen is the quality of care will go down. We won't have as many general practitioners, family practitioners, so people will really only go seek help when it's absolutely necessary in terms of a specialist. And when they go to a specialist, automatically the cost is higher because of who specialists are and the additional testing that they do to do diagnostics. So we've already
I'm sorry to interrupt there. Let me see. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't that one of the things that they said this was supposed to fix? They said you're going to have to treat these people anyway. If you wait till it's an emergency, it costs everybody more. That's one of the reasons they gave for Obamacare. Am I mistaken?
No, you're absolutely right. And so some of these specialists are going to operate probably in a dual capacity, where they'll become the people looking at it. We've already seen some of this, and some of the elder folks have had internal medicine physicians they've gone to, and you know, they have literally sent people on Medicare to the emergency room because they have streamlined the cost structure so much that it doesn't pay the doctor to see them regularly. So they send them to the emergency room to go get fixed up, which just increased costs more. And then on top of that, we're going to be running into the accountable care organizations, which are going to be these reasonable accountable care things that will decide if the care that you're receiving, to be accountable, the doctors will have to be accountable to that organization so that they're not over-physicianing you, over-doctoring you. And basically, they're going to decide what kind of care you're going to get.
Good. No, wait a minute. What kind of care you get? Is that anything like those death panels that crazy woman Sarah Palin was talking about?
Oh, no. It couldn't be the death panels. No, you're exactly right. When you start talking about things like that is, hey, instead of a surgery, let's give you a pill. And we've already started to see this even in terms of if you take I've run into an 80-year-old woman in need of a knee replacement, she's not going to get one. At that point they're saying, well, you know, let's reserve that knee replacement for somebody a little younger who could get a little more use out of it, because, you know, average age of a woman is going to pass away at, you know, you're already lived past your average age at 80 years old.
Wow. And so, okay, so we already have the death panels, or a form thereof. We already have an impact on primary care doctors. And did you mention the uninsured? I think those have actually gone up as well, right? The number of uninsured?
There's actually some good news on that front. They finished up the studies last year, and in the state of Tennessee, we've actually reduced a little bit of the uninsured ranks. We went from about 700, right, just under 700,000 to now we're just under 600,000. So we've had some headway in that regard. But where this is going is, come January 1st, 2014, the Obamacare requires a window of premiums that can be the lowest to the highest. So, in other words, the difference between a 26-year-old and a 64-year-old. And we'll just assume they're both non-smokers, because the insurance companies can tag smokers with a 50%, up to a 50% surcharge. So let's just assume they're non-smokers. But a 26-year-old compared to a 64-year-old, that window cannot be greater than 300%. Currently, right now, it's sitting somewhere between 650% and 700%. And the reason behind that is because when we're 26 years old, we're younger, we're healthier. Typically, we don't have as much going on as generally more healthy. And someone who's reached 55, you know, the body starts breaking down a little bit, and you start having to need some maintenance drugs like your cholesterol medicine and maybe some hypertension control. So it could be diabetes is on the rise for type 2 diabetes for people over 45, even 50. Some of that has to do with the weight gain, et cetera. But that's why there's that difference now. And from an actuarial standpoint, the actuaries have studied this for years, and they've determined that that's what the rate differential need to be to sustain that. Now, what Obamacare's done is saying...
I'm going to have to step in here just a second. I've got to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to you. Appreciate it. I have to put you on hold here just a second. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but don't be fooled. Americans identify themselves as conservatives, outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call our home. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TRADAM is a liberal-free website, as all good websites should be. We'll be right back in just a minute with Inside Tennessee.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio, brought to you by Tennessee Action Council. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. I'm on the line with Pete Whitman. He's an expert in the healthcare industry, works in the industry, and he's kind of given us the down and dirty on what we're already feeling from, what his industry already is dealing with from Obamacare. Pick up where we left off there, Pete, in reference to, it sounds like the very young are now carrying the very old in terms of health care.
Yeah, that's what the older ones will probably see a little bit of break in their premium. I won't say, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say it's going to be a lot, but they'll see a little bit. But the younger people are going to come up significantly. And when it comes, then it's going to come down to a point is, weighing the option of, do I pay the $95 penalty or the percentage, the 1% of income penalty, or do I pay $300 or $350 a month for my health insurance coverage? And even when we passed Obamacare, there was about 45 million, they said, at the time that were uninsured. Of those 45 million, greater than 36 million were between the ages of 18 and 35. So we passed this law to bring the younger, healthier ones back in the line, to bring them back in the pool, and now we're ostracizing them again. So in the long run, it's going to be a really rough road, because now you've now are having your pool of people being much older, and generally speaking, older people are going to use health care more than younger people. So you're not offsetting that much at all.
Yeah, and the younger ones who currently are prior to Obamacare, you know, number one, they kind of had a choice. You know, hey, I'm a young, healthy guy. I don't think I need this. I'm just going to take, get some sort of insurance policy in case I have a wreck, you know, have some kind of serious accident. Well, now, you know, they're going to have higher premiums, less choice and more money for them.
Yes, exactly. We're going to be in for a ride where we may be hanging on to the underbelly side of the horse as he's running down the track.
You know, something that the government does a lot of, especially the liberals in the government, they pit groups against each other. You know, the Democrats are masters at the whole race game. They're masters at the whole class war game. Now, this is kind of another avenue there. You know, you've got the rich and the poor, and I guess they can play it either way they want to play it. Oh, you know, you're selfish if you're a young person, you don't want to pay a huge amount in health care to take care of grandma or grandpa. Or vice versa. Hey, you know, you're a young guy. These old people are sucking you dry. It's just, once again, they're pitting people against each other instead of, you know, people being allowed to make choices and have some control.
Well,
they're setting up a system where they control it.
Yeah, everything has to be in a zero-sum game to them. It's always a win-lose situation where somebody has to be a winner and someone has to be a loser instead of figuring out a way to make it a win-win situation. Where everybody can win. We had an opportunity to really try to fix some of the problems that were in healthcare, and we addressed none of it. What we tried to do is fix the financing mechanism, which just enwraps the whole healthcare ball itself, and it's just paying what healthcare is demanding it pays. I mean, it's a huge portion of our gross domestic product right now. I think it's, 16%, and that's only going to increase. As you're going to see, some of the health care organizations see this as an opportunity to increase profits, which is exactly right. They can find areas where their is going to be a dramatic need for what their services they're plugging in, and they're going to make it. They're going to do very, very well at it on the backs of the fact that the government's forcing this upon people.
So some of the companies have just decided, well, you know, I don't like it, but it's here. Let me go ahead and support it and make some money off of it now. I mean, you think some of that's maybe going on in Tennessee?
Yeah,
is there some pressure on the governor?
Even in the broker world, the brokers are starting to embrace Obamacare. It's law of the land, and we have to accept it because it's coming like a freight train, and we can either do one of two things. We can fold our tent and go home, or we can figure out a way to make it and adjust to it. Some of that's going to be, you'll probably see an increase in worksite or volunteer products. Aflac became absolutely huge in Japan when they went to a socialized medicine. So you may see a resurgence of those types of products, which were very prevalent in the late 80s and early 90s. We used them dramatically to attract people to come to our companies, and they kind of went by the wayside because healthcare increases cost so much they had to do away with some of those programs. They will then probably creep back in again. So you'll see some people making some profit off of Obamacare. Tip my hat off to him. Capitalism at its best work. You know, the going gets tough, the tough get going, and figuring out a way to make it happen.
Yeah. I've got a caller on the line I've got to take. This is Barbara Buffing. She's the one of the hosts for Women Patriots. We're going to do a little intro here, and we've got a couple questions after that.
Sure.
How we doing, Barbara?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Thanks for
all the information that you guys are giving us tonight. Them death panels are kind of scary because I'm over 45. Anyway, one night, Patriot, we have Evan Sayet, the author of Kindergarten of Eden. He came out in front of the Heritage Foundation with his talk regurgitating the apple and how the modern liberal thinks. He's really funny, and he's serious, and he's awesome, and he's got the book, his new book, The Kindergarten of Eden. So join us for an awesome show tomorrow night on www.conservativenationradio.org.
Yeah, sounds great, Barbara. It sounds like it'll be a good show. Appreciate you calling in.
We are on at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 Central. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Good to hear from you.
You too. Thanks.
Pete, I got a couple more questions for you. If there's any more callers out there, 718-305-7176. We got a couple minutes left if you have a question. What do you think the final outcome of Obamacare is going to be?
Well, it has already started to implode on a lot of different levels. As recently as a month or two ago, Kathleen Sebelius was contacting some of the donors to Obama's campaign and asking for donations so she could complete the process of just making sure the exchanges got up, because our Congress did not have the money to fund it. So there's all kinds of different levels going on of things in jostling that's already making it look like it's going to implode. From a standpoint of where the Americans are, interesting enough, 10 years ago in under George W. Bush, 64% of Americans thought that the government should take over health care. That number has exactly reversed today. And now there is about 36% of the people who actually are for it now, and 64% who are not for the government taking over. So there's been a flip-flop in it. So from a standpoint of where is Obamacare going, right now it's the law of the land. There are some things out there that are still trying to be tested in the waters to try to stem the tide of it. My guess is it's going to continue where it's at, and it's going to take a decade to fix the problems, because there are some significant ones that it's caused
just
in the process of doing it.
Just with what they've already put in place, if tomorrow they said, let's stop it, let's dismantle it, it would still take 10 years to fix what they caused.
Well, if they say, let's go back to where we were, you know, that would be hard. It's always hard to turn back when you've already spent a lot of money. We're talking trillions trying to get this thing up and running. Either way you go, I think it's going to be a 10-year process. And if you can remember when Medicare just did that one piece of the prescription drug and how much of a mess it was for 3 years. It was terrible. And then finally after the third year, into the fourth year, they finally got it together where it's actually started running smoothly. That part of the bill was actually, in terms of percentage of how much pages involved, I mean, we're talking 2% of the thickness of this bill, and that took 4 years to resolve. So from that standpoint, it's going to be a wild ride. And I would probably say, even talking to some economists, looking from a global perspective, really the only type of health insurance plan that's going to sustain itself in terms of premium dollars over the long haul, and it's the one thing they didn't touch, was those health savings accounts, which is a catastrophic plan where everything's going towards the deductible, and then and you can put money into a savings account to offset that, and you're still getting the tax deduction for it. So that may be the most feasible route to go for individuals in terms of moving forward. Don't see a lot of sustaining of premiums for plans that have office visit copays and prescription drugs. We're already starting to see cost sharing and shifting back to the consumer on those levels. Rising copays. I mean, I've seen as high as $75 for an office visit copay now, and prescription drugs will do similarly. And so,
wow.
Looking at the long range scope, if I'm looking through a crystal ball, which I don't have, but even talking to economists, the most feasible and long-standing plan that's going to hang in there is those catastrophic plans with a high deductible and setting money aside to meet that deductible.
Yeah,
and you're
that's
out of
about all
costs.
The time. Yeah, that's and I was going to ask you that, but that's pretty much the best advice you can give. Hey, we are just about out of time. Got about 30 seconds left. I appreciate you coming on. You gave a lot of good information in a short period of time, and I hope I can have you back on.
Yeah, thanks, David. I've enjoyed it. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. You've been listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio with Dave Vance from the Tennessee Action Council. Join us again next week from 6 to 8 Central. Out for the night.